So tonight we're on the Wednesday Experience, the Big Book meeting, and we're reading Improving on the Truth from the Steps We Took by Joe McHugh from the Joe and Charlie. And we're going to finish up, and we're on page 82. I know we have some new people. People are at different levels of recovery. So you're coming to this meeting for the first time. I'd like to explain, at this meeting we go through the book and the steps, and to expand on the steps, we read from the steps we took by the original Joe and Charlie on some of that. We're also going to read some of Drop the Rock when we get to 6 and 7. And the Wednesday night meeting, we finished the big book on step 5. We're on page 75. We finished that. And there are only 3 pages on the 5th step, and we're reading this information to expand on it. So if you're new, you say, well, gee, you know, what's going on here? Well, people come here because their life isn't going well, usually. People don't wake up one day and say, I'm going to AA here, it's great. Not usually. Their things are not going well, especially with alcohol or drugs. Things are getting unmanageable. They come here. And what do we have? What do we try to help the newcomers see? Well, we want them to know that we have a solution to whatever's bothering them. Whatever they think their problems are, there is a solution. We have a way out of whatever this depths of despair they're in. And what we ask is for an open mind and willingness and to listen and follow directions. That's all that's required. In the beginning, we want people to understand that they got here because things weren't going well with alcohol or drugs. They had no power to keep from using them. And then when they used them, things got really bad because they had no power to limit how much they were using. So if it was just the fact that when I drank, I got drank too much, well, that wouldn't be a problem if I didn't drink. Isn't that true? Now, and we have a problem when we drink, but we keep drinking. So that's a bad situation. So why don't we stop? Why don't we just say no? I heard somebody say today, just don't drink today. He was telling a new person that, which sounds great. But if we could do that, we wouldn't need to be here. Now, I think you could stay sober for a few days, months, weeks maybe. But if you're an alcoholic, that moment will come when your mind will tell you that a drink is a good idea. And when your mind tells you that, your mind doesn't say bad idea. It never does without God and the program. So the program of Alcoholics Anonymous is 12 steps designed so that when your mind says, I may want to drink, something comes in there and says, bad idea, Michael. Let's not do that. So how do we get that in our mind? Well, we have to get everything out of our mind that's blocking us from this power which we call God. So in the beginning, we admit that we can't manage our lives and we can't keep from drinking or using. And then we just become willing to believe that something can help us. Now, you know something can help us because you see people in this room that were pretty down and out and they're years sober. So you know there's something in AA, there's some power in this room that can help them. And so you say, I'm willing to stay here and listen and follow directions and see if I can get what they have. And then you make a decision that you want to seek a power in your life to direct your life so that your life won't become miserable and you'll have to drink. Now, the problem with that is that it's not entirely true, because even when your life's going well on the outside, you still won't have any power to drink. You can't manage your life if you're an alcoholic so that your mind won't say, I need a drink. It's not possible because it's never good enough. And so a lot of people come to AA and say, this is great, I'm gonna do better, I'm gonna study, I'm gonna get myself together, I'll be okay. That won't work. We can never do that because our mind can't fix what's wrong with us. Well, why can't it? Because my mind is my problem. I believe what I think at times, and it's usually wrong. But I don't know that. I live my whole life that way. And so in the third step, we're making a decision to have somebody else direct my thinking besides me. Isn't that a good idea? Good. And we want somebody to give us power to live, and we want a design for living that works. Well, here's what we're doing in step 4 and 5, which we're on tonight. Once you make a decision that your life is unmanageable, you can't manage it anymore, you can't keep from drinking, That won't help you. That's just a decision. What we have to do is face and be rid of the things in this mind of mine that have blocked me from God. And we learn in the third step that I lived a self-centered life. And when I did that, I created in my mind things that weren't true to get what I wanted. So the first thing we do in step four, and a lot of people are in treatment, you hear all about step four, it's not very complicated. We look at the manifestations of when I'm in my self-centered life, what filled my mind. Now, what filled my mind was fear. Fear of everything. Anybody have fear when they come in here? A lot of people still have fear. The other thing that was anger. I was angry at everybody. Everybody bothered me. Maybe not everybody, but 99%. And if I studied them for a while, they'd end up bothering me because it's the way I saw the world. And so we look at the manifestations of playing God and self-centered, and what we see is we're angry, have a lot of resentment, fear, and we harmed a lot of people. We did a lot of bad things. So we need to look at that, and we start by taking the anger, and we look at the anger, we say, why were we angry? What was threatened in my mind so I got angry at this person? And we work our way back to my character defects, what was in me that made me angry, and then we see it's all the result of being self-centered. And then when we do that, we find this information that we're going to use in step five and then in six and seven to change so I don't have to think that way anymore. I can start to think that way, but I can stop and say, that's no good. I don't need to be angry. I'm wrong. I'm either impatient, intolerant, self-centered, fearful, inconsiderate, and then we change. But we can't do that when we come in here because we don't know what we need to be rid of. Does any of this make sense? And then fear is the same way. Whenever I'm afraid, I'm back in me. I'm afraid I'm not going to get what I want. I'm running the world. I'm managing it. I get afraid, and then I'm relying on self. And so I have to stop and look back from the fears, and what in my character caused me to have the fear? And then we look at our conduct and why we harm people. We look at sex relationships and then other relationships, and we look back and see what was in my character that caused me to harm people. Now, I forgot the cards because I'm getting old, but for the new people, we have these cards, which I'll bring next time. And when we come in, this is our personality, and it's not good. We're selfish, dishonest, frightening, considerate, prideful, greedy, lustful. You can go on and on, impatient, tolerant. It says, how do you feel when you're that way? You don't feel good. You feel restless, irritable, guilty, shame. And then when we feel that way, we want to drink or use, right? So if we don't change the way we see the world and the way we think, nothing's going to change. So that's why people don't get better. They come to AA, they go to a lot of meetings, but they haven't been able to get a direction in their thinking so they can let go of this self-centered personality. Now, whenever I think this way, it's because I'm rooted and I'm playing God. Now, I didn't realize that because I did it all the time. And then the other thing that was wrong with that, I don't know about you, but it was wrong for me to play God because I wasn't God. Now, it took me a while to realize. I read that line in the big book. It says, we had to quit playing God. Why? It didn't work. But they should have said, because you're not God. You see, because it's so obvious that sometimes we miss it. And I do it all the time. That's what we talk about, our self-centeredness. When I play God, I see the world a certain way. It triggers all these negative thoughts. And so that doesn't work. So I have to put my soil in a different root, and it has to be God. Now, when I'm centered on God's will for me, then I don't see things that way. I don't get angry, fearful, and I don't harm people. So in the fourth step, we're just trying to get information in those areas so we can admit them to ourselves, God, and other person, so we can, in five, admit the exact nature of our wrongs. Does this make sense? And if I don't know what the exact nature of my wrongs are, how can I be willing to let God remove them? And then how can I practice differently? And six and seven are not talked about a lot of meetings because they're not glamorous, but those are the steps that change you. You want to change yourself from this self-centered person who's full of anger and fear to a loving, tolerant person. And we do it all the time. That's what we say, work the steps. How do I go from seeing the world God self-centered back to God-centered, and I can see it differently, and then I don't have to react to it. I heard something, somebody said, he said, the problem with my life was not the things that happened to me. It's how I reacted to them. Now think about that, because that's really true. So we're going to learn to react differently by thinking differently. And what did Chuck C. says, we act our way into right thinking. And so we want to see things differently, act differently, and then the result is that we have peace and serenity. So now we're on page 82, and I thought I'd try to, I don't know if that was a good summary or not, but at least what we're trying to do in steps 4 and 5. And it says as we go through each inventory and work the way across to the fourth column, we examine the exact nature of our wrongs. Now, if you flip the page back, you'll see this thing on how you do the fourth step. And if you're new, I suggest that you get a sponsor, get through steps 1, 2, and 3, and get started on your fourth step. In the fourth step, you review your resentments and the instructions. It's on the website. I did 4 or 5 talks on them. I have the handout. We go through the in great detail, and it's easy to do. And we have column 1, whom we're resentful at, the cause, what was affected, which caused my fear and anger. And then the fourth column they talk about is what is the exact nature of my wrongs, my faults, my mistakes, my defects, and my shortcomings. Now, what I didn't know when I came in here, and if you're new, you go to a lot of meetings, you hear a lot of people are angry about things, but I didn't realize that whenever I'm angry, I was wrong. I was always wrong. And I blamed others, and I was wrong. I was wrong to be angry. And I would only get angry if they threatened me in a certain way, if they threatened my self-esteem, my pride, my sex instinct, my material instinct, my emotional instinct. If I wasn't threatened, I wouldn't get angry. So we want to see, and that's the way I would see it when I was back in self. Now, if I have God directing my thinking and I'm doing His will, when the same thing happens, I don't have to get upset at the person. It's an option now. It was never an option for me. And so we look at the fourth column, which is what caused me to be angry and start the whole ball rolling. Well, either I was dishonest about myself or my motives. I was in self. I was self-seeking. I was full of fear. I was inconsiderate. And then the other character defects like impatience, intolerance, judgmental, they all fall from that. And we have this card which we give out, which tells us where we are when we're not feeling good. And we want to change that. We can change. And that's the great news of AA. You don't have to be thinking and the person you were before. You can act differently. You can have a different life. Does this make sense? And so we'll go back to the handout on page 84. And we're going to read some of this because a lot of times, 82, thank you. A lot of times people don't understand what the purpose of the fifth step is. The fifth step is not to confess and tell everybody all the terrible things you did. You may do that. But it's so you can see your character and your personality so you can ask God to change it in 6 and 7. And then steps 10 or 11 is how you practice changing your character all day long when you get angry or fearful or bothered. And it says, if we can get rid of the characteristics in the fourth column, chances are that self will be healthy. See, we want to have a healthy mind, and we want
to...
Page 82 in the on the handout, the middle of the paragraph, middle of the page. Some of the things we have inventoried were probably people retaliating against us. Like somebody might be angry at us and we get upset, but we didn't realize that we had done things that caused them to get angry at us. When we're not doing those things anymore, things based on selfish, dishonest, self-seeking, frightened, and inconsiderate character, there's not going to be a lot of retaliation. So if I'm practicing love and tolerance, Phil, you got it yet? You see where it is? All right. When you practice love and tolerance, you're not going to have a lot of people upset at you. And then they're going to react differently to you. And so you're going to see the difference, but it's because you've changed and they're probably still the same. Now he says, every once in a while somebody will do something against us anyway, but still if we're spiritually well, it won't make any difference. We won't have a barrage of stuff going on because we are healthy. So that means if you're practicing love and tolerance and somebody does something that used to really jerk your chain and piss you off, you could say, you know, that's just the way they are. They're inconsiderate. God save me from being angry. They're spiritually ill just like I was. And you don't have to get disturbed at all. And it says, and if you bring love, I heard somebody say, and the only thing lacking in any situation is the love I don't bring into it. And if you bring love, unconditional love for your fellow humans in every situation, then they really can't bother you. Now, we don't do it, right? All the time. So we get bothered. So then we say, okay, I'm angry here. God save me from being angry. Give me a love and tolerant view of them. Change the way I see it. And you learn all that in your fourth step. And it says, a resentment, a fear of harm may appear to be another person's problem, but it's really our problem. It's my bondage. See, we ask for God to relieve me of the bondage of self, and the bondage of self is my resentments, my fears, and the harms I do others as the result of my self-centered character. And he says, I think realizing this is freedom, so I can't change other people. Can any of you change other people?
Nope.
Yeah, and so, we used to try to change them, right? Or we thought they would change over time. Anybody do that? You get in a relationship, well, they're going to change. They just get worse, and we get worse. It never gets better. And he says, I think realizing this is freedom. If you really want to be free in your life and you want to be happy, then the problems have to be your problems. So what AA is telling us in the fourth and fifth step is that if I'm angry and I'm fearful and I'm harming people, it's my fault. It's my problem, and I can change. I don't have to do that anymore and be that way. Isn't that tremendous power? And it says, and as soon as you say they did it, then you're giving up your freedom, because then you're in the bondage to them. You're turning your life back over the world again and enslaving yourself. And it says in the big book, my problems are my own making. Now, if they're of my own making, it's not them anymore, it's me, and I can change. And it says they arise out of self, and where self will run riot. And so it's, and I learned something, it arises out of self, myself, not the self God made. It arises out of me and myself. And so he says, when I say I've got a problem in the top of 83, I say I sure hope it's mine, because if it's mine, I have a chance to do something about it. If it's somebody else's problem, I can't do anything about it. And that's where, like Al-Anon is so powerful, because if they have a problem and you can't change them, you have to have detachment and boundaries. And so we have to do the same thing as alcoholics. And I wrote up here, I can't change them. I can only change the way I react to it. And remember, the promises, the recovered promises in the big book are on page 85 and step 10. And they occur when you're in fit spiritual condition. And if you're in fit spiritual condition, it means that when you see things, you don't react the way you used to. And if you're self-centered, you react in the self-centered way. If you're in fit spiritual condition, you react differently. And it says on page 85, it says, we are in a position of neutrality towards alcohol, self-safe and protected. We recoil from it as a hot flame. The problem's been removed. We're not fighting anything or anybody anymore. And this is how I react if I'm in fit spiritual condition. So AA has the 12 steps to get us to react differently to the things that happen than we used to. And the closer we're in God and the more we work the steps, then we react differently, and then our lives as a result are much better. It says people usually associate freedom with political freedom, but the greatest freedom is the world is not that kind of freedom. It's the individual freedom God has given us as human beings. We are created as free people. He says, I think when our forefathers wrote the constitutions, that's what they were reflecting. These were very spiritual people, and what they were saying was, this is the way we are all born. We are born free, free from what anyone else does. And so we are free to react differently. Now the problem after you do your fifth step, and you're in step 6 and 7, is you can't blame people anymore. If you're having a bad day, it's your fault. It's not them anymore. You have to be responsible for the way you react. And you have to take responsibility, but you have the power to change with God. So if you're having a bad day, it's your bad day. Every day should be good. And remember, Shakespeare said, it's nothing's good or bad, it's only the way you see it. So we want to see things as they are and not put labels on it. And then we don't react. And it says, we give up ourselves by buying into things, by giving other people resentments and fearing this and worrying about that. And then we develop the selfish, self-seeking character. So people come in here with problems with alcohol and drugs. If you're new, alcohol and drugs was not your problem. They were a solution to living a life run on self-will where things didn't go right, and alcohol provided ease and comfort from that situation. And so we have to change the way we live sober so that our mind doesn't seek alcohol, and when we things go bad when we're sober, we seek God to see it differently. And when we seek God, we never have to drink. God will never make me take a drink. And so we have to learn that, and you learn that by doing your fourth and fifth step because you can see it. It says we are created free and we have done this job of tangling things all up by ourselves. See, we have free will to separate from God, free will to get in the self, free will to make myself miserable. Now, God, why did God create me so I could make myself miserable? Because, like Sandy Beach says, his plan for my life is that when I'm away from him into self, I don't feel good. And when I don't feel good, I want to turn back to him, voluntarily turn to him. And when I turn to him, he comes and he comforts me, gives me power. So God gave us the will to separate, but he also gave us the ability to come back. Chuck C. in his famous talk says, we only have one problem, and it's the root of all our problems. We have conscious separation from God. And we have one solution, conscious contact with God. So when I'm disturbed, I'm in anger and fear, I'm harming people, I am separated from God, I'm on my own, I've done it. And I can stop and say, I want to get back into contact with God, and I don't want to be that way. And the steps are how you do it. In 10 and 11, you learn how to do that. In 4, you learn how to be free of resentment, free of fear, you learn the prayers, and in your conduct, in your inventory, you set a sane sex ideal so you don't have to harm people anymore. And he says, freedom, in that page 83, in the third paragraph, we tangled up our lives and we blamed it on others. Anybody have a list of people that got them here? Usually people come in, have a list. There's usually 3 or 4 at the top of the list that got us here. And if it wasn't for them, our lives would be great. Well, when you do your inventory, you usually owe those people amends, and you can see it differently. It says we've tangled it up and we blame it on others. And we've worked at it for years. The point that Joe and Charlie make is that we are very good at being self-centered. We react to all situations, and we're good at being self-centered. We're being very good at judgment, being very good at intolerance. We've practiced it. We haven't practiced love and tolerance and patience and understanding, and we haven't done that, so we have to try to practice a new way of living. And as we practice the new way, we do it more easily and we get better at it. And so we're going to learn a new way to live. So 6 and 7 is the result of 5. What we've learned here and we're talking about today is how I practice a new way of living. When I see somebody and I start judging them, I don't know if any of you ever do that. Just go to an AA meeting and see if you judge somebody. And then people are probably judging me. Well, good luck. Here's the deal. I can stop right away and say, you know, it is what it is. I don't have to be bothered. I can be considerate. And so it gives us freedom. We don't have to be in bondage to ourself anymore. And it says, take guilt and remorse. Anybody have guilt and remorse? He says, if we had made amends, I skipped something. Forgive me. On the paragraph 4, he says, we transfer blame to someone else. We keep on going and we just keep blaming that person and it stacks up. And it builds up. And it says it's like sweeping dirt under the carpet. It's going to be worse later on when it comes out. And this is all resentment is, fear is, and our guilt and remorse. We don't deal with them. We blame and we keep angry, we keep afraid, and we keep the shame and guilt. And he says, guilt and remorse, he says, if you'd made amends when the thing happened, you didn't have to carry the guilt and remorse for 20 years. And it builds up. It gets worse. And then if he'd made amends when it first happens, we would have been free. And that's what the 10th step is. It says when you watch all day for selfishness, dishonesty, resentment, and fear. He says, you watch with God. You don't wait. When it starts to come up, he says, ask God at once to remove them. So you don't have to get bothered anymore. You can ask God right away. He says, you discuss it with someone else. You make amends if you've harmed. You forgive. And you turn your thoughts to someone you can help. It's 8 lines in the big book on page 84. If you do that all day long, your days are going to be a lot better. And you can see the result. He says, freedom takes work. I always say one of the ways to be secure is, ironically, to be a slave. And I've read this several times to see if I could understand it. You'll probably understand it right away. But he says, a slave is taken care of. His master feeds him, gives him a place to stay, tells him when to eat, what to eat, when you get up and when to go to bed. Of course, the slave has no freedom whatsoever. But to be free, he would have to take care of himself to do some things. And he says, I think it's that way with our emotional lives. And I think it's steps 4 through 9 and then 10 and 11. When we don't do the daily things we need to do to live and be free, when we're not working the steps, when we're not practicing the principles in my affairs, when I don't face things and deal with them, when I don't admit my faults, when I sweep things under rugs, I don't make amends, I give up freedom. And then I'm enslaved to these things. And how is it manifested? Then it's expressed with alcoholism, codependency, drug dependency. So our alcoholism is the result of the bondage of self, our desire for alcohol and drugs. Our alcoholism is centered in my self-centeredness. And alcoholism occurs when you're sober. You drink alcohol when the result of alcoholism is you can't live sober, so you drink or use. So AA is about living sober so you can be free of the bondage of self and you don't have to use or drink. And now, how do we do that? None of us are perfect. We do it by seeking God constantly whenever we get back at self, stopping, letting go of it, asking Him to take us back and see it differently. It's not that complicated. All it does is take practice. But you've never done it, so when it's new, it's hard to start living this way. That's why you have sponsor, that's why you go to meetings, and you hear how people are doing it. And it says, step 5 is thus a process of going back and clearing up those things that we swept under the rug, and it's painful. So why do you do a 4th and 5th step? Because if you haven't faced and be rid of all this stuff you've accumulated, all the crap in your life, you can't live today because you've still got all that stuff in there. And so it's like he says, clean house, trust God, clean house, and serve others. Well, how do you clean your house? Well, we become mini-maids in our mind. We want to clean our mind of all the crap that we've accumulated by living in self. And I don't know about you, but I had a lot of fear when I came in here. And I had a lot of anger. And I could have told you exactly how I got here, and it was their fault. I could have gone on for hours, maybe days. And it was all nonsense. And then it was so free to realize that the problem was me and not them. And so that's what we're doing. And he says, if you have a car in the next paragraph, you have an old car, you drive it down the street, and somebody says, what's that noise? You go, it ain't nothing, it's just the street. You're sweeping it under. Later somebody tells you, I believe I hear a noise, you say, oh, it's nothing. And you keep on it, pretty soon the car's falling apart. And you see, it's painful to stop and admit something's wrong. And of course, we had fear because we're afraid. And then maybe if we'd fixed it first, when we had the little noise, we wouldn't have lost the car. I think that's a pretty good example of what we do with our lives. And it says, pay me now or pay me later. And it says, this is what we're doing in step 5. And it says, now they sell you when you do step 5 with someone, you know, you'll tell them something. And then they'll look at it, and with 3 minutes, they can tell you and help you see it differently than you've seen it for years. And so you'll say, well, how did you do that? He says, how did you do that? He says, well, you told me. And he says, how could you see it so plainly? The person says, I answered, I wasn't involved in it, you were. And one of the things that helps me whenever I work with somebody, because I have this myself, is they have 2 or 3 people that really ruin their lives. And they go on and on. And then, you know, you listen. It's usually, like, it could be mom or dad. You know, they have a whole list, mom and dad. And I say, well, did your father ever go to work? You know, did he ever take you to a ball game? You know, they give you this whole litany of everything they, you know, did he make sure you had clothes? You know, did he do the best he could? Was he a human being? You know, mom, did mom change your diaper? Did she, you know, it's so easy to get involved in what they did and not see what they did for you, not to you. So I don't know if that made any sense, but, and then the greatest freedom is when you have people that you really resented. You see, you know, they did the best they could. They couldn't help doing it differently. That's just who they are. And you know, you have to accept people as they are. And then the other thing is when you stop being critical, you'd be amazed how people start looking better. I mean, they just look better. You say, well, gee, where was that person? Well, we're just giving them the chance to be human beings, and we're not nipping at them all the time and getting on them. Then he talks about seeing. He says, he turns on the radio or the TV, and he says he could see things in Russia or China, but he couldn't see it. And he says, and he can only hear things. You can only see and only hear so much. That's why you need to have a sponsor. You need to do the steps with someone. And you need to have someone you can call every day that you can tell them the nonsense that's going on, and they'll listen, and they may help you see it differently. And that's where it says in here we have to rely on other people. That's why it says we admit to God, ourselves, and other human being. We have to get out of ourselves and out of our thinking so we can see the truth. And it says, so we're seeking truth. Step five is a rewarding step. We don't know the results until we take it. The step five, the decision is step three, and the effort and honesty is step four, become meaningful, and you start to change your personality. Because you can see your personality that created all your resentment and fear, and you can see how you want to change. It says, as our quality of life gets better and better, some of the things we used to live with will become objectionable, and we'll get rid of those, and we'll say, I used to be like that, but I can't anymore. You don't want to be that way anymore. So I wrote a few things here and then I'll open up. I said, I can stop myself now when I begin to get angry or afraid and say, I'm not going to be this way. I can do that now. I say, God, help me change the way I see and react. But I'm not even going to stop if I don't have the relationship with God. And if you have a bad day, you're back in self, everything bothers you. You don't stop. You don't pause like we have on page 88. 87. You don't pause. You're right in it. And now, if you have a relationship with God, you can pause. You don't have to react that way. So God says to me, don't practice fear or anger or hurt people. Stop and come back to me. Turn away from self-will to God. And now, in the big book, there are only two paragraphs on 6 and 7. They're the most powerful steps. And we're going to spend a lot of time on it. We're going to read Drop the Rock, and we're going to read from the Joe McHugh book on steps 6 and 7, which is great. But why do they only have two paragraphs? Well, because they, if you do it a third or fourth or fifth step, you can really see this stuff. You're willing to admit that these things are objectionable, and then you're humbly on your knees going to ask God to take them away. And so that's the value of 4 and 5, and I hope this was helpful. It helps me understand each day what I need to do to change. So we're going to open it up and have some discussion.